second reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
And despite you having extinguished your candles, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of course, we might ask, well, who are these people that are walking in darkness? What is this darkness? What is this light? If it's that dark, why aren't people falling over a lot more? Why aren't the manufacturers of torches leading the FTSE 100 index? Why is it that every Christmas we hear the same old stuff trotted out? And yet it doesn't seem to make sense on what we experience here, now, in the 21st century. It seems to have even less to do with a baby born 2,000 years ago. And yet the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. See, the problem is we live in a world where everything will eventually decay to chaos. The scientists call it entropy. Another way of looking at it is simply to say everything swerves to rot. In the civilized process of resolving problems through debate and compromise comes the corruption of politics, the scandal of the self-serving, and the tragedy of war. The peaceful quest for a godly answer to all life's woes becomes a bombed church here, rioting against other religions there. Even a season such as now, where we buy gifts for those that we love to show our appreciation and our affection, is distorted by the nightmare pressure to spend more this year, to get bigger and yet not necessarily better gifts than last year, and of course be plunged into the necessary debt that incurs. Well, I hear you say, what a cheery message for Christmas. If I'd wanted to be that depressed, I'd have stayed at home and watched EastEnders, wouldn't I? But we don't have to watch the soaps to become aware of the fact that the world is full of dark things. The events that we saw on the PowerPoint during Silent Night were just some of those things. We all look at the news from time to time and wonder what hope there is. Where is the light in this darkness? Yet the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The light has entered the world and the darkness has not understood it. This week we'll celebrate the birthday of Jesus. The 25th of December, however, is not the day that Jesus was born on. We don't actually know when he was born, date-wise. The reason the 25th of December is chosen is because on the Roman Julian calendar, that was the winter solstice. That was the shortest day of the year, the day after which light began to return to the world, or the Northern Hemisphere anyway. The days begin to get longer. Light is more prevalent. And that's a symbol of what Jesus means to us even now, because Jesus is the light of the world. We know this because he said so himself, and it's recorded in the Gospels. But what does that mean? Some of you might even be saying, so what? See, in essence, the Bible teaches us that God created through an outpouring of his love in order to have relationship with us. God wants to know us, and us know God. God wants to be part of our life, and us part of his. God wants to lavish his love upon us, spend time with us, teach us, and for us to have an experience of his kingdom on earth, just as it is in heaven. But that was spoilt when we behaved selfishly. We have all done things that come from our selfishness instead of a willingness to help others, to see others prosper, others fed, clothed, cared for, housed, loved. That selfishness stands between us and God, whose heart breaks for us. In fact, his heart breaks so much that 2,000 years ago, he became a child, born into poverty and shame, whose future was execution. And yet in doing so, God, through Jesus Christ, repaired supernaturally the break between God and humanity. He showed before his death and after his resurrection a better way of living, a God's kingdom way of living, a way of living whereby giving ourselves to the things of God, despite there still being dark events in our life, in our world, we can begin to experience the reality of God's kingdom here and now. I'm not going to promise you tonight a life of prosperity. I'm not going to promise you an easy life. I'm not saying that you will become a great person, famous for mighty deeds. But a life lived the Jesus way is a life of light in an otherwise dark world. A life that brings light into the dark lives of others. The angels spoke of peace on earth. But unless we know what that peace was to be, we can be forgiven for thinking it hasn't happened yet. You see, it's when peace exists between ourselves and God that peace then has an opportunity of existing between one another. Talking with some of our youth just a couple of weeks ago, I was struck by the story of Joseph. Joseph is this decent man who doesn't appear on the whole to have a very large part in the Nativity. And yet here is a man who is quite possibly being accused by some of being impatient. Having got his fiancée pregnant, he had obviously opened his presents early. Others will have accused him and ridiculed him for standing by a woman who was obviously loose and of poor moral judgment. And amid all of this ridicule and all of this abuse, he was still decent enough to decide to to divorce her quietly, to not bring any further shame upon her family. And then he has a dream. And based on the understanding that the child his fiancée carries is the child of God, he sticks with her. He endures the ridicule of those who don't believe. He endures the insults of those who judge them both. He leaves his family and his homeland to flee to safety, to protect a child that isn't his. He lives the life of an outcast nomad for the first few years of Jesus' life, and all because he seeks to do God's will. And for this, he gets a brief mention in the Gospels, and he gets a non-speaking part in the Nativity play. And other than that, he's forgotten pretty much. And yet, without his role faithfully fulfilled, Jesus might not have been born in Bethlehem. He might not have fulfilled the prophecies that foretold of him being in the line of David. Jesus might not have survived the fearful hate and anger of Herod. And God's plan might have been set back. God's light might not have entered the world. That God was born as a baby. That his life hung on the slender thread of one simple man's integrity. That he should grow up to be executed and then rise from the dead doesn't make sense to many. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. I said earlier about everything swerving to rot. That's only the case if we ignore the reality of God. We are told in the Bible that in Christ all things hold together. The baby whose birthday we celebrate in 2 days' time grew to be a man who walked on water, calmed storms, healed the sick, and raised the dead. We are about to celebrate the birthday of the one whose life even now shows us that in him we don't have to conform to the darker ways of this world. We are compelled to live in darkness only when we fail to understand the light and therefore reject it. As was posted on the fence at Sandy Hook School last week, it is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. This Christmas, what will be your focus? Will it be the shallowness of turkey and stuffing? Will it be the darkness of a world where sometimes awful things happen? Or will it be the light of the world available to you here and now in the shape of Jesus Christ, light of the world, which the darkness may not have understood, but you can know personally if you want. Amen.
This Christmas, may you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, and the determination of the Magi. And may you know the peace of the Christ child. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with those you love this night and evermore. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.